Hello and welcome to the Footvey English podcast in collaboration with World Football Index, a unique mix of fandom and journalism. Footvey English is your one-stop shop for all things Venezuelan football in the English language, from the men's to the women's and the domestic leagues to the national teams.
Hello and welcome to the Footvey English podcast. This is Dominic Jose Bisogno, here to talk to you today about MLS and the Venezuelan presence in MLS. Venezuelans, of course, have been a big part of MLS's recent history, last decade or so. And this year is set to be more of the same in that regard. There are 13 Venezuelan players rostered properly on first teams across MLS. Several other players expected to play in the reserve teams in MLS Next Pro. And also several Venezuelans expected to be on the sideline of various MLS teams as coaches. So lots to go through. We're going to break down all these different folks sort of club by club. We're going to talk about their transfers, if there are transfers at play, their status at their current clubs, and sort of what to expect from them from this 2023 season. What better place to start than Mr. MLS himself, Josef Martinez. It's hard to talk about Venezuelans and MLS without talking about Josef, so we're going to break down a little bit of his move. For those that don't know, Josef Martinez has recently joined Inter Miami, David Beckham's Florida-based MLS team. He's left Atlanta United after about 6 years, an eventful 6 years that saw him win multiple domestic titles, multiple international titles as well in CONCACAF with Atlanta United. Saw him score 111 goals for Atlanta across about five active seasons. And that's with multiple injuries that took away serious playtime as well. It's a historic run. Now it's time to write some new history for Josef Martinez. He's in Inter Miami. This is a club that, of course, joined MLS only a couple of years ago and has not thrived since then. They've had some difficult years, although last year, the club notably made the playoffs proper for the first time. And so there's a sense of growth, there's a sense of momentum around Inter Miami, which sort of perfectly complements the arrival of Josef Martinez. Inter Miami now have a man up front who is a legacy goal scorer in MLS, and that provides an interesting avenue for them. For Josef Martinez, it's the first time he's in a new home in a long time. It's going to be interesting to see how he adapts to a new setting, a new city being his home, a new club. While Atlanta United certainly had rotations of players and coaches, at the end of the day, you spend 6 years at a place and there's a lot of people that are going to be there with you the whole time or most of the time. And so this is a return to, you know, what the early part of his career really was, which was moving around different clubs, different countries in many cases. So it's an interesting opportunity for him to write a new chapter in his MLS legacy. Josef Martinez is already considered really one of the great MLS players by a lot of people. If he can do it at Inter Miami, it doesn't have to be winning MLS Cup, but competing for trophies, making the playoffs more consistently, maybe making a run in the playoffs, making a quarter, a semifinal, maybe making a conference final. These sorts of things, if he can bring that to Inter Miami, we could really see Josef Martinez cap off his MLS career on a high note by becoming a guy that could do it at more than just one team. And I think that's an interesting dynamic that we have coming into this season for him. We'll have to see if the goals come as rapidly as they have in the past. Last year, he returned off of an injury, did not get as much playing time as he would have liked. That was actually something quite publicly vocalized. But he still managed to have the MLS goal of the season, of a bicycle kick against the New England Revolution, I believe. And he also ended the year, I believe, tied for Atlanta United's top goal scorer, despite only starting maybe half their games. So he's clearly got something still in his pocket. He's still got an ability to make an impact in this league. We're going to have to wait and see what that looks like in Miami. But I think if you're concerned about if it's the end of Josef Martinez keeping MLS interesting, I promise you it's not. And this stint at Inter Miami, I have no doubt, is going to be a fascinating, entertaining run for him, for Venezuelans watching MLS, and of course for Inter Miami as well. We'll move on now to the Portland Timbers out on the west coast of the United States, who have two people of note when it comes to Venezuela. One of which, of course, is Pablo Bonilla, defender, has received multiple Vino Tinto call-ups in the past and has been at the Portland Timbers for a couple of years now, previously been with clubs like La Guaira, Portuguesa. At Portland, he's had a hard time breaking in to the team in a long-term way. So last season, he made 7 senior appearances, made a several reserve team appearances as well. And that's sort of been the dynamic of his time at Portland, really since he arrived. And so the question is, what can Pablo Bonilla do in 2023 to assert himself as a long-term option for this team, get some more minutes? He's by no means old, and he certainly has opportunities coming from a national team point of view. He's clearly rated by people in and around Venezuelan football. But the question is, can he get back to a place where this is a guy playing club minutes constantly, consistently across the season? So that's the question mark for Pablo Bonilla. I think there's reason to be hopeful. I think last year had some high notes, some low notes. Portland itself, a team a bit in transition roster-wise. And so it'll be interesting to see where he falls in the midst of that. The other person, of course, is Gio Savarese, head coach of the Portland Timbers, a renowned Venezuelan football player in MLS, in FootVay as well, domestically, abroad in Europe as well. He has been in charge of the Timbers now. This is going to be his 6th season. It's been a positive run. The Portland Timbers, of course, are a team with high standards. They've won an MLS Cup. They've asserted themselves on the MLS scene. Savarese has guided them to a 2018 MLS Cup final, which they did lose to Joseph Martinez's Atlanta United. He's also won the MLS's Back Trophy, which was a tournament held post-lockdown during the COVID-19 pandemic. It was essentially treated as a replacement to the domestic cup, the U.S. Open Cup. And so essentially that trophy is viewed as winning a domestic cup. So he's had some success. At the same time, there's been some disappointing playoff runs. And so he's had to balance that a little bit. I think the Portland Timbers love Gio Savarese. I don't think there's any particular pressure on him necessarily to do anything unique this season. At the same time, I think his own standards will be to improve on what he's been able to do so far. I think the Portland Timbers want a trophy again. It's been a while. This is going to be 3 years detached from their last trophy. They haven't made MLS Cup final in that time either. So I do think that while there's not necessarily pressure on Savarese to achieve those things, I think that there's an expectation that he's going to try and push this team a little further as they continue to sort of make their way through a transitional period that started a couple years ago as some veterans started to retire. That hope that they can push the boundaries a little further and start being a little more competitive long-term in the league. That being said, Gio Savarese already considered one of the top managers in the league by a lot of people. A manager that when he took this Portland Timbers position 6 years ago was wanted by several other teams, rumor and report suggesting he had interviews with several other teams, and continues to be a looked after asset in the MLS sphere. Of course, there were those that nominated him for national team status at certain points and those sorts of things. But he's at the Portland Timbers. He seems dedicated to that project, that mission. And I think 2023 could be a very promising year for them as they sort of navigate the tail end of a transitional period with their veterans. We move on now to Daniel Pereira, who is an interesting situation, interesting player of note in this conversation because he's taken a very different path to MLS. Daniel Pereira is Venezuelan. He, however, has lived in the United States for a prolonged period of time and actually came to MLS through the college system, through the super draft. Became the first South American to be picked number one in the Super Draft, and also obviously the first Venezuelan. And he's been with Austin FC his entire pro career. Austin FC, a young team, relatively new, that you know has struggled at times, but has had a positive start to their life in MLS. And Austin, Daniel Pereira has been a major part of that. We saw last year him step up. After a good rookie year, we saw him 22 step up and get a couple goals, his first professional goals, get some assists, help the club really thrive in the Western Conference and actually end up making a run to the conference semifinals, essentially 2 games away from MLS Cup. A huge achievement by the whole team, certainly a huge achievement for Daniel Pereira, who just a couple years ago was playing college soccer. The question for 2023 is can he keep his place as a starter on this team? Can he convince them that his position does not need to change at the club to the next level? Can he upgrade with the club as the club grows into a more powerful presence in MLS? He's young, he's 22. Sometimes at that age, it's hard to make that adjustment. That being said, he's impressed so far, and I think there's reason to be very optimistic about his future with Austin. If he gets another strong year with them, I think you start to talk about a guy who's really, his stock is rising to the point where he becomes a real commodity in MLS for his youth, for his skill, for his potential. So we'll have to see how he negotiates, you know, his place in Austin FC. But I think that there's a strong, bright future ahead for Daniel Pereira. I think we saw him upgrade in 2022 from 2021. We saw that growth with Austin FC. The question, of course, is what that looks like in 2023. But I think there's reason to believe that it's a positive spot to be in. Next up, we have Ronald Hernandez at Atlanta United. Hernandez joined Atlanta United, you know, originally partnering back up with Joseph Martinez. Martinez, of course, has left. And so now Ronald Hernandez is Venezuela's connection to Atlanta United. He's in an interesting situation. You know, last season, struggled for time with the team. Had periods where he really found a place in the 11. Had some periods where he lost that spot. Atlanta United, of course, in a transitional period that includes the departure of Joseph Martinez. This preseason, Atlanta United has struggled. They've drawn and lost multiple friendlies with Mexican opposition. They actually tied 3-3 in a friendly with a third division team in the United States, known as Chattanooga FC. So it's been rusty. It's been rough. And a lot of the fan base are not particularly happy about that. So Ronald Hernandez finds himself in a position where, you know, he's one of the people that's going to be responsible with mounting this sort of comeback against expectation as the preseason difficulties continue. Preseason, of course, not always a reliable way of knowing where a team's going to go. And then so Atlanta United certainly could end up doing quite well this year. But it's going to be interesting to see how Ronald Hernandez, who is still quite new to this team, how he can adapt and grow into that challenge. You know, this is a guy that's been through some tough periods. He's had to navigate some difficult situations with Aberdeen, of course. Has had to grind out some tough seasons with Stabæk back in Norway. So this is a player that understands challenge, but it's going to be interesting to see what he does with this opportunity. On the one hand, he's probably going to get a lot more minutes with Atlanta United this season than he got last season, even just comparable to games played. But the challenge presented to him in those minutes is perhaps going to be one of the more drastic in his recent history, and so it's going to be interesting to see how he handles that. Atlanta United, always a team to not count out in MLS, always a team that can mount a challenge, always a team that's hard to play on the road at Mercedes-Benz Stadium. But we saw last year that Atlanta United is fallible. There are weaknesses. There are chinks in the armor. Ronald Hernandez is going to be responsible for helping fix those problems. And it's going to be very interesting to see as he maintains a good relationship with the national team. Can he mount a good campaign here with Atlanta United? I think it's going to be a big challenge. I'm not sure he alone is going to be capable of fixing the problems at the club, but I think it's going to be a fascinating year for him, and a fascinating year to see him be Atlanta United's only Venezuelan. Of course, a team that has been iconic for Venezuelans in MLS because of Joseph Martinez. So it's going to be a challenging year, I believe. But I think the bright side for him at a personal level, of course, is that for the first time in a while, I think he will have a consistent position to play real minutes with the team, which is something he's struggled to have in recent years. We travel up the East Coast a bit, and we come up to Philadelphia, the Philadelphia Union. Philadelphia Union, of course, are home to Brujo Martinez, who has been an exceptional player for them, arguably one of the most successful transfers from Liga Footvé to MLS, really in the entirety of the history of that relationship. He helped the Union win their first ever trophy in the Supporters Shield, which is the trophy given to the regular season champions of MLS prior to the playoffs. And since then, he's helped them compete for numerous other titles. They, of course, made the 2022 MLS Cup final. They did lose, however, to LAFC. So, 2023 is interesting because Bruno Martinez was actually rumored to be leaving the Philadelphia Union. Some quite respected sources and reporters say a Tom Bogart, who's a known reporter in the MLS space, have suggested that there were talks with teams like Beşiktaş in Turkey. Those did not happen, or those did not come to anything. And Bruno Martinez remains in Philadelphia, playing with the Union for another season, his fourth season in MLS and with the Union. It's going to be interesting to see, can he maintain his previous level after a tough final loss, after rumors of leaving? What does 2023 look like? Do we see the consistency, the passion, the dedication that has sort of made Bruno Martinez an asset in MLS? You know, this is a guy that many MLS reporters consider to be one of the top midfielders, particularly defensive midfielders, in the league. That's a huge asset for Philadelphia. The question, of course, is can he help this team overperform and challenge for titles yet again? This is a sort of the blue-collar underdog of MLS, the Philadelphia Union, that continue to challenge for titles despite many people thinking that the Magic's going to run out soon. We'll see if the Brujo himself can keep that magic alive. Jesus Bueno, Chuchu Bueno, also in the mix here. Bueno has mostly played with the Philadelphia Union reserve team since joining from Deportivo Lara a couple years ago now. We've seen him have periods where he makes the bench quite consistently for the first team in MLS, but rarely gets much time on the pitch itself, a couple minutes here and there. One thing that's promising for 2023 for Bueno, who I assume will want to make that next step this season, is that, first of all, in 2022, he had an exceptional year with the reserves. Really pushed them forward, really gave them that creativity and maturity on the pitch in the midfield that they needed. Huge asset for them. The other thing is that in preseason, he's been incredibly active with the Philadelphia Union first team, playing regularly in friendlies, starting friendlies. And he's actually scored a couple goals and made a couple assists along the way. So I think 2023 could finally be the year that Jesus Bueno breaks into the Philadelphia Union first team. I think the writing is on the wall for that to happen. Now, of course, that's up to the Union. That's up to the coaching staff. There are a lot of choices that have to be made that these sorts of pieces of information don't inform necessarily. But I think that 2023 could finally be the year that we see Jesus Bueno launch himself into a true MLS career. And I think it's the time for that to happen. He's, of course, young. He was even younger when he joined the Union. But he is getting to that age now where you really want to see a player get that first team opportunity long term in a proper league, not in a reserve team or in a lower division. So I think the writing is on the wall for 2023 to be that year for him. The coaches seem to agree in the sense that they're giving him a lot of time in preseason. But of course, we won't know how serious that is until the Union take the pitch, you know, for a series of games, and we see how the chances sort of lay out for Jesus Bueno. We're going to turn now to Cincinnati, FC Cincinnati, and Junior Moreno, who has had a wonderful time since joining the team from DC United, where he spent several years. Moreno had an instant impact at FC Cincinnati last year. Dramatically improved the team's defensive performances, helped them on an 11-game unbeaten run. When he was unavailable through injury or national team duty, etc., the team clearly dropped in quality from the defensive point of view, and just clearly a huge asset for Cincinnati. He comes for a second year. This is a veteran at this point of this league. Moreno's seen it, done it across MLS. And the question is simply, can he and Cincinnati upgrade to that next level for 2023? Become a little more competitive in the playoff sense, maybe get a little higher on the regular season table, that sort of thing. So a lot to be discovered with Cincinnati. It's a team that continues to make big moves in the market, continues to change a lot in the roster. But Moreno seems to clearly be part of the plan. He clearly was last year, and it's going to be really exciting to see what he can do this year. And, you know, on the side, of course, have to note and shout out Ricardo Paez, who, of course, is an assistant coach at FC Cincinnati, and Jesus Castellanos, who, of course, is on the MLS Nets Pro roster this season for FC Cincinnati. Both in their own way, of course, going to be hoping for a great year for Cincinnati, both with exciting years ahead of them. Castellanos' first year at the club since leaving the New York Red Bulls organization. And Paez, of course, looking to continue a very positive coaching career that he's been having in the United States for several years now with Orlando City and now Cincinnati as well. Next up, we're going to talk about actually two players at two different teams, but there's a strong connection here. We're going to start with Sergio Cordova, who is now at the Vancouver Whitecaps after being loaned to Real Salt Lake last season from FC Augsburg. He's been properly transferred to the Vancouver Whitecaps, so he is now a permanent Vancouver Whitecaps character. Ends his German adventure that spanned several years and is now a proper MLS player. He joins the Whitecaps after a really impressive loan last year with RSL, scored 11 goals, helped push the team into the playoffs, made a very impressive run across the season. And it's a big opportunity for him. You know, despite the fact that he's had a really prolonged career and been part of the discourse for a long time, Cordova is 25 years old, and he's got a long future ahead of him. This is a real chance to sort of hit that restart button and really build something new in the United States, or actually, in his case, Canada. And he showed at RSL in 2022 that he is able to compete in this league. He's able to get goals in this league. So I think it's a big opportunity for him, big opportunity to show that he can be a long-term option for a team. And he's young enough that if he can really build something in MLS, there's entirely a possibility that he makes a return to Europe down the road. Now, back at RSL is Jefferson Savarino, who has been at RSL on and off for several years. He teamed up fantastically with Cordova, had a 7-goal, 4-assist season out of 20 games last year. Again, helped push the team into the playoffs. He doesn't have Cordova with him anymore. He doesn't have that Venezuelan connection anymore. But Savarino, clearly an exceptionally talented winger, capable of playing in big games, impressed immensely at Atlético Mineiro in Brazil, of course, and has done so at RSL as well. The question really just is that Savarino, can he lead this RSL team as really a veteran of the team at this point? Can he help lead them to a trophy or to a final? RSL has been incredibly competitive over the last several years, especially with him. But they haven't quite challenged for anything in terms of trophies. And so the obvious question now remaining is really just, can he help open those doors for the team? We'll have to wait and see. But at the very least, there's no reason not to think that Savarino has another season where he's an absolute threat to every team he plays. He put many teams to the sword last year. And he just remains a huge commodity in MLS. Speaking of veteran players in MLS, we have to talk about the New York Red Bulls and Christian Caceres Jr. Feels strange to refer to him as a veteran because, of course, he's still so young. But at this point, Caceres really has become a veteran for this Red Bulls team and this league. Last season, he passed the 100-game mark. And led the team to an Open Cup semifinal and to the playoffs. He continues to perform highly for the New York Red Bulls, continues to be, at this point, a designated starter. His first couple of years, he was really competing for minutes, but at this point, it's quite rare that you don't see him start. And usually when that happens, it's simply a rotation or injury-related decision. So he's very much in the mix, very much a commodity in MLS at this point. There's a lot of discourse about the fact that his contract runs out this December 2023. This season, perhaps, a big opportunity for him to sort of complete a resume in MLS to establish what level of interest he gets from other parts of the world. Obviously, Europe still a place that a lot of people are hoping to see him play. But I think having someone like Christian Casares Jr. in the midfield keeps the Red Bulls incredibly competitive, along with a series of signings they've made in the offseason. Also at the Red Bulls is Wikelman Carmona, a player who's had some great bright moments, who's had some tough moments, had a tough run at the Sudamericano Youth Championship that just happened. It is worth taking a look at him, though. Carmona came to the Red Bulls very young, inexperienced at the pro level. He got his first professional goal with the Red Bulls last season. Actually, excuse me, two seasons ago. Last season, dealt with a lot of injury problems and found himself bouncing between the first team and the second team, training, not training, and had a lot of inconsistent bursts across 2022. 2023, for me, seems like a big opportunity to see what kind of healthy year looked like for Wikelman Carmona. We saw in 2021 that he had a lot of potential. We saw in 2022 that there were obstacles in the road. Now 23 feels like the time for him to show us what the answer is to those problems, what the solution is. I have hope that we can see something good come out of him in 2023. I think that at the very least, a strong year with the second team, getting consistent minutes could be an achievement, but I certainly think it would be wonderful if he could manage to get himself back into that first team, even as a bench player, consistently being in the mix, playing with people like Christian Casares Jr. on a more consistent basis, I think could be a big benefit to him. Either way, I think Venezuelans are going to have a huge impact on the Red Bulls this season. I think that they're going to be a big part of the team's high performance level. And I think the New York Red Bulls are a team that people should be expecting to compete for trophies this year. 2022 was a difficult year for the Chicago Fire. Club really struggled to climb the table, struggled to make the most of its DP signings, players like Shaqiri on the roster, but just not really able to find the goals they needed, not able to keep the clean sheets they needed. In that difficult time period, there were plenty of players that showed those bright moments, that had good runs with the team, and I think Miguel Navarro is one of those players. I think that at times he showed an excellent amount of talent with the Fire. However, it's part of a team that overall was really struggling. This is a guy that is still in the mix with Vino Tinto. This is a guy that is very much in the mix with the Chicago Fire. And I think 2023 is an opportunity for him to make the most of a fourth season in MLS and prove himself a little more. Step up, show a little more maturity, and perform a little stronger. I don't necessarily expect the Chicago Fire to dramatically improve this season to suddenly compete for trophies. I think it's probably going to be another testing year for Miguel Navarro. But I do think that he has the talent within him, and the Fire have the talent within their roster this season to improve on last year, which was a disappointing year, really, in general, for the team. So it'll be interesting to see how big of a part Navarro can play in that journey. But I think that he has it in him to be a part of that journey. Another defensive player that's sort of finding their way is Christian McCune, who, of course, got a lot of attention during his youth career, playing in Juventus and captaining the national team, the youth national team. He is at the New England Revolution this season. He joined them halfway through last season. He was transferred from Charlotte FC, who themselves had purchased him from Inter Miami. And McCune is very much finding his home in MLS. He's a guy that's bounced between a couple teams and hasn't quite locked himself into a spot, it feels like. 2022, he got some appearances, but clearly the decision is not yet made about whether or not he is a long-term option for the New England Revolution. And so it's really going to be up to him to force the issue this season and lock himself in, cement himself as a New England Revolution defender. The bright spot of all this is that while this journey is happening in MLS, this is a guy that's clearly talented. This is a guy that is a impressive option for the Vino Tinto. He's playing quite a few games for the national team. So the talent is there. The ability is there. The interest is there. It's just a question of whether or not he can kind of get that across to the New England Revolution and get a consistent spot with this team. A team that clearly wants to compete, had a slightly disappointing season last year, clearly want to do better this year, maybe a young, dynamic defender and midfielder for what it's worth. And Christian McCune can be a part of that journey. You also have a couple of players we'll touch on real quick here that are not probably going to be playing in MLS proper. You got a couple guys. Jose Riasco stands out. Moises Tablante stands out. Javier Otero stand out. The later two are at Orlando City. Jose Riasco, of course, is at the Philadelphia Union. These are guys that are almost certainly going to be playing their whole seasons at MLS Next Pro, the reserve teams. In some cases, they actually have specifically their contracts signed with those reserve teams, not the first team. So you're not probably going to be seeing much of these guys, if at all, in MLS. However, I think all three have exciting MLS Next Pro seasons ahead of them. All three have been very impressive at the reserve level in the United States across multiple seasons. And I think it'd be great to see all of them cement themselves a little more at that level and hopefully earn themselves bigger opportunities either at the later end of this season in the senior team or in 2024 with the senior team. The other potential, of course, is that all of these guys could potentially see some first team minutes with their respective clubs in friendlies. We saw Moises Tablante, for example, appear for Orlando City in friendlies in the senior team before. We've seen other players do that as well. So I think the pathway is there for all three of these players to get some first team minutes within the next year, but it might be literally the end of 2023 or the start of 2024. They're probably going to have to be patient. I think that's a big decider here is who can be professional and patient with that task. And for now, I think all three have some pretty bright futures ahead of them in the MLS Next Pro season that is going to be parallel to the MLS season. So in those cases, make sure to be checking what Philadelphia Union 2 and Orlando City B are doing in MLS Next Pro. All in all, I think 2023 is going to be a really interesting season for Venezuelans in MLS. You have a real range of players we're talking about here. You have veteran players at the club and national team level like Josef Martinez or Brujo Martinez or Sergio Cordova to some extent, Junior Moreno. But you also have some younger guys, still proving themselves, a Chuchu Bueno, a Carmona, guys that have certainly exciting futures ahead of them, but what that future looks like is not clear. You also have head coaches, assistant coaches looking to continue to prove themselves. You have MLS Nets Pro players looking to earn that first team spot in 2024. So you have a real range of storylines here. And we look forward to covering them, of course, at FootVay English. We look forward to watching with you and seeing how all these players progress across 2023. So thank you for listening. Thank you for following us. If you don't already, check us out on Twitter, FootVay English. If you need help following the news, you know where to reach us on Twitter. And thank you again for listening.